Peace, friends. My name is Erin, and I am on staff here at Sycamore Creek, where I lead our children. And today, I am up here as a volunteer on the teaching team, and I've got a job to do, and that is to talk to all y'all about work, okay? So if you're groaning already, like, I come to church not to think about work, I'm sorry. Next half hour might be a little uncomfortable for you, but stay with me here. So this series is the final sermon in this series called The Me I Want to Be. It's based on a book by John Ortberg, and its basic premise is that God created us to have certain strengths, certain abilities, to work with his spirit, and if we're not living into those skills and we're not pursuing that, we're never going to be the person God called us to be, the person God made us to be. So his big line is that redemption is always the redemption of creation, and we do that through our work. Okay, so we spend something like 1/3 of our lives at work, and who thinks that's depressing? Okay, this might be for you. We can't not talk about work. And when I say work, I mean people who are retired, you have work. People who are students, you have work. People who are looking for work, you have work. This is for everyone. We all have a job that we have to do. Everyone. Everyone. So this is a message for you, no matter if you don't have that like Monday, Friday, 9-to-5 job. So stick with us. My other job, my real job, I left my real job, to be honest with you. I had a full-time job as a writer or an editor at a paper, and I left that to be a freelance writer, which really means that I gave up like money for pennies. But hey, I made 75 bucks this month, so who's laughing now? Yeah. So I got to do something recently for the Lansing State Journal called The Salute to Nurses. It comes out, I think, sometime this week. It's a profile of 6 nurses who are winning an award from the LSJ to highlight the things that they have accomplished in their careers or the people, the nurses that they are. And as I got to talk to them, it was so much fun, because they all love their jobs, all of them. One of the women in the story said, nursing isn't my career, it's who I am. It's who I am. I think teachers probably feel that same way. This is who I am, I'm a teacher. Another person said, I have this job now where every experience in my life before this all pointed to what I'm doing now. And it feels like a perfect fit. And they're not even talking about that from like a faith perspective. It's just that she's able to reflect and say, all of those awful jobs I didn't like pointed me to this. And now I'm in the flow. And it's fun to talk to them because we don't usually talk about work like that, do we? We don't usually say, I don't have a job as a cashier, it's who I am, right? We don't say that too much. Instead, we usually talk about it sort of like, good job, Dave. That's my husband, Dave, up there on sound. Everybody has a job. Paul up there on slides, working hard today. Keep looking, Marion. Usually, we talk about work and how much we hate it, right? Work is that thing that we have to do when we're not, like, sleeping or doing the things that we want to do. Work kind of creeps in and ruins your life, right? I mean, there are greeting cards online. There are TV shows. The Office wouldn't be a TV show if we all loved our jobs. It wouldn't make sense. So here's a greeting card that I'm going to send Pastor Tom next week. I just wanted to let you know how much my soul has died since I started working here. I'm not actually going to send that to Tom. This is actually a pretty good volunteer gig, but I do have quite a few former employers I would send that to. No, actually, I had a really, really horrible job. I think it was the summer between my junior and senior year in high school, and this would have been like early 2000-ish. Whenever that was, turn of the century. Isn't that fun to say? Remember that time when like medical records were all going digital? This was the future. So somebody had to be there on the front lines making that happen, and that someone was some 17-year-old high school girl. And at 5 in the morning, I would walk in this office, and it's windowless, and it's beige. And on this wall, nothing but file boxes and file boxes and file boxes and file boxes full of medical records. And then over here in the corner is this little computer and this little scanner. And remember, you know those scanners where you can like put the whole thing on there, you push the button, and it, we didn't have one of those. We didn't have that. So I sat at this computer, and I piece by piece lift the lid, put it down, shut the lid, scan. Remember that? Yeah. And then you have to save that file, and then you have to save that file in a folder, and then you have to save those folders to a disk. This was my life all that summer, okay? I get it. This is a picture of me crying in my car. That was a soul-crushing job. But hey, somebody had to do it, right? Right. No. See, here's the problem. Something like 87% of us don't like our jobs. 87%. Is that like surprising to anyone? That's huge. That's a big number. 87% of us don't like our jobs. It's sort of like when we're there, we wish that we could just not be. Like this guy from the Office Space.
So I was sitting in my cubicle today and I realized ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up. I'm sorry. Go on.
Is there any way that you could sort of just zonk me out so that, like, I don't know that I'm at work in here? Could I come home and think that I've been fishing all day or something?
Could I come home, please? Yeah, I love that. I love that because it solidifies that feeling that I had that summer and then in other jobs that I've had. And then I'm sure it echoes in your mind, too, of jobs that you've had. Please don't make me go into work tomorrow. Please, please. And this is a problem that work can really suck. That's a problem. It is. And I'm going to give you the solution right up front so we can unpack it. And that's that God is working with us and through us to redeem us and to redeem creation and to bless others. We have a part in God's redemption story through our work. Jesus said that he came that we may have life 2/3 of the time, right? And then the other third, you would be at work. No, right? We can have it to the full. All the time, we can have it to the full. God shows us his work ethic right away in the creation story when, you know, he takes 6 days to make everything, and then on the seventh, he rests. And we like to talk about that like the Sabbath, you rest, right? We all want more rest, and that's absolutely good. But notice that when God is instructing his people, the Israelites, he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. 6 days you shall labor. 6 days, that's not like a work-life balance, is it? God puts the weight on work. And people talk about work-life balance. I have, I'm a mom of 3 young kids. I talk about that. What is my balance between work and a family? And the hard part is that the Bible never talks about family being more important than work. It never mentions that. It never says that family is the most important thing. What it says is that love is what matters most, and families are one way that we receive love and we give love. But here's the thing is that you should do that in your work too. Your work can be a way that you receive love and you give love. If that's true, if you believe that to be true, then how would that change the way that you thought about your work? Those 6 days should be lived to the full. God talks about work and the importance of it and stewarding our time in the beginning. And he says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and the birds and the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing. Dominion over, like we think about that, like I'm going to dominate that bird. I'm going to dominate it so hard, right? That's not really what it means. It means to steward. Our work here, we are stewarding God's creation. We are helping to redeem creation. And when we do that, we're working with God and we're experiencing something called flow. Pastor Mark last week talked about flow and flow in our lives in general, but flow is something we can experience in work too. Flow is when the Holy Spirit is at work in you and through you, helping you accomplish your job and create value on earth to bless people. You're working with the Holy Spirit to create value on earth and bless people. I have experience in flow as a writer. I wrote a book, and one of the chapters was on self-care. And when I was writing it, I went away to this hermitage, which is like the place I would really want to live, where there's no one else, it's just bad snacks, right? So I would write, and I would write, and eat bad snacks, and the whole day is just gone. And everything that I wrote that day wasn't hard. It was just, it sort of came out of me. It was beyond me, it felt like. And when I hit send, and I sent it to my co-author, and she read it, and she said, this is it. You nailed it. And now when I go back and read it, I don't even remember writing it. But it's out there. And let me say, my co-author, Sarah Arthur, she's really particular. Every other chapter that I wrote in that book, she sent it back for revisions about 47 times. So that one came out like that. I feel like I have experienced flow, and flow isn't something that only creative types get to experience. Remember, when you're experiencing flow, you're creating value on earth. You create value on earth whenever you're putting a roof on someone's house. You bless others whenever you're taking their temperature. You are creating value on earth when you're fixing someone's car. That's any part of your job where you're experiencing those things. That's how you're working with God to redeem his creation. I asked my Facebook friends when they experienced it or what it felt like. And Patricia, she says she experiences it when she's writing too, but what has to happen is that she has to get out of the way of the work and just let it happen, just let it flow. It doesn't become easier, but she doesn't hate it. That's flow. Julie says, it feels like whenever she's in that rhythm, like she's making the phone calls, the to-do list is getting done, simply completing things. She says, I'm in my zone. That's flow. Dottie experiences it when she's busy and she's helping people. Jennifer Newman. Jennifer is a teacher, an educator, and I think like a lot of them, she experiences flow whenever she's teaching an idea, and there are connections being made with the students right there. And watching that happen, that's something magical. Well, it's God, it's not magic, but the only way you can experience too much flow from the Progressive Car Insurance commercial. Yep. Too much flow over the years. That's just too much. This is us crying out in pain. I preached this this message to our sermon preview group, which is sort of like the worst thing in the world, for someone to give their very rough draft of a sermon in front of a small group of people who are then going to tell you the places to fix it. And it's a small group. You guys should all sign up for it on your connection card. But Marion used this line, and it was perfect, and it's that flow is like when the singer becomes the song. It's when the singer becomes the song. We are working with God's Spirit in that moment. We are co-creating with God. I think that gardeners really get this. Anybody like to garden or have to garden? Yeah, as a compulsion. So it's sort of like this. I'm going to take these ridiculously undersized buckets, right here. Okay, so our work right now is to prepare the soil, right? So we get the soil ready, but we didn't make the soil, right? This is a good time to thank the clean team, by the way. Sorry about that. We have the seed, right? Our job is to plant it. And we plant it. We didn't make the seed, though, right? And we cover it up, and then we water it, and we walk away. We're working with God. And God does that part. But our work was first. Our work was required. And when it's done, we get to enjoy the St. Pierre tomatoes. Jesus told a parable like this, and he said, the kingdom of God is like that. It's as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps, and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. He knows not how. He just does the work, and it happens. And the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he's got to go back out there and harvest. It's time to work again. That's participating with God in this very visible, tangible way. We do that too in our jobs, even if we aren't farmers. But it's fun to watch. My stepdad is a farmer. He farms 400 acres of farm-like things. And I'm really distracted by that ponytail of my youngest daughter there. Oh, it's ridiculous. Every year I get to watch him go through this process of flow, though. He's also a bus mechanic, and that's not his favorite thing by any means, but when he retires from that in a couple years, he will still be a farmer because that's who he is. It's his goal to keep farming as long as he can. And he goes out there and he's planting. He's trying to plant now, but it's like the black swamp down there in Ohio. So when that drains, he'll plant. And then he waits. He's done his work and he waits. And then in the fall, it's harvest. And it's time to work again. He's creating value. He is blessing others through this work. Where do you experience that? Where do you experience something in your work where you feel like you have created something beautiful? You have blessed somebody. You have helped somebody. Have you experienced flow? Is this all sort of like mumbo jumbo? If you haven't, I'm going to talk about a few steps where you can put yourself in a position to better experience this and to experience God redeeming creation through you and through your work. And the first is that you would pray for flow. Pray that you would experience that. Remember the 87% who hated their job? There's that 13% who really liked their job. And that 13% who liked their job, they didn't like apply for this perfect position and get it, and now they're just happy. There's magic happiness. Instead, that 13% said that they made that job. And not like an entrepreneur. It's more like they were in a position where they got to do certain tasks, and then the ones that they were really good at, they start leaning that way. And the ones that they weren't so good at phased out, or they still did them, but this is the part that they loved. This is the part that they loved, and that's all connected to your strengths, which are given when you're born, and it's the way that you look at your job creatively. Where are the spaces that I can pursue an interest in something else while you're here right now? The second is that you would focus on those God-given strengths. What bores you? It's not that. Okay? That's not your God-given strength. It shouldn't make you miserable. What challenges you? What do you do that when you're done with it, you like look at it and you're like, I have created something meaningful out of that mess. I have helped somebody. I have fixed something that was broken. What are you good at? Jeremy kind of did that in his job. Way back when, in the beginning of Sycamore Creek, he was the kids ministry guy. And over time, as he learned things about ministry, he sort of walked toward this music side, right? Now this is where he is. He experiences flow in his music. It's obvious. We watch it up here on Sundays. Now, I'm the kids ministry person, right? What if I started learning about that and migrating toward music? Jeremy's got an electric fence over here, and I would hit it, and I would poof, I'd be way over here. He has protected me from making myself an embarrassment. Follow the things you're good at. Put down the things you're not. John Ortberg says that each of us has these certain strengths. We were born with them. They will always be our strengths, and we delight in them. Trying to improve our weaknesses is like trying to teach a rabbit to swim or a snail to race. By the way, when I sing, I sound like a rabbit drowning. So if you ever need me, I'm over here. I'm free. Follow the things that you're good at. And I'm not saying this from like this Oprah self-helpy sort of way. It's just that God created you to be a certain person. And as you're looking at the things that you're good at, it's like looking at the blueprints for the person that God created you to be. It's understanding better the project that you are. At Sycamore Creek, we have a tool called sesame.org, where if you aren't sure what your talents or your strengths are, how that would even relate possibly to a career, I encourage you to take this assessme.org online profile, where at the end they give you these helpful names to call yourself, right? Like Jeremy is a creative type, he's an artist. I have administrative skills. Jen Newman, I'm positive, has teaching skills. That's why she uses them in Kids Creek. Bless you. What are the things that you're good at? Find those. Focus on those. The third thing is that then you would have to look at how you spend your time. How are you spending your time at work? If you don't like your job, are you showing up every day and you're like clocking in and then there's like that new cat video on YouTube and then, you know, you gotta go get some coffee and then, oh, look, it's almost lunch, right? And then at the end, you get to go home and live your life. Or throughout the day, are you looking at your job and thinking, what can I learn from this now? Where even if I don't like it, this is a skill I could gain somewhere for something else. And if you're there and you can't leave, you need the money, how can you be a good steward of your mind and your talents while you're there? After the first service, I talked to John Miller, who went through a period of unemployment, and he prayed for a new job, and he got it. And he was thrilled that he got this job, and then he realized when he showed up, it was kind of like my scanner story job, where he had to move files into different subfolders all day. And he said he had such trouble staying awake that he was desperate to look for anything. He used to put clips on his hands to create pain, like anything. Keep me awake. He's a heck of a guy. But he said eventually he started listening to podcasts while he was working. And some of those podcasts he listens to, and he knows people who are going through other things, and he recommends them to people, and he blesses others. He uses that time to bless others. Think about if you're retired, you might be thinking, like, I got a free pass on this one, right? I got all the time in the world. But how are you spending that time? Are you looking for opportunities to bless others? Are you looking for opportunities to volunteer? Are you looking for opportunities to pray more? Maybe sometimes for a shut-in or someone else who's ill, prayer can be your work. Praying for others can be your work. If you're a student, you might think, I don't need a job. Everything's covered, right? My job is to live my life. But what if your job were to pursue those things that you were good at through study? Reading more about the things you're interested in. When I was back at that awful sermon preview group, my friend Norma was there, and she volunteers like everywhere, I think. She's always wearing that homeless angel shirt and always going from one meeting to the next. And she said that the endorphins that she gets from her volunteer work are really good pay. Where do you get those endorphins? Allow God to redeem creation through your work. And fourth, if you are stuck in a job that you do not like, or if you're sitting here unemployed looking for a job, ask God about your next step. Pray that He would reveal to you how your strengths can be put to work. Remember how that nurse said that all of her life pointed to this perfect job? What are those things way out here that are pointing you to your perfect job? That scanner job is somewhere way out here for me. But it did teach me that I'm no good in an office setting. So even the worst positions can be teaching you something toward becoming the person that God made you to be. I'm going to close with a prayer, with a blessing in a couple minutes. And as I'm doing that, I invite you to be in prayer right now, that God would talk to you about your next step, and He would point out your strengths and opportunities to use them to bless others, create value. So I'll have the words on the screen. I'll read them aloud. You guys can follow along and pray with me silently. Blessed are you, ever-creating God. In your image, our lives are made. In your glory, we offer all the work of our hearts and hands and minds. Blessed are you, O God, now and forever. Blessed are you whose work is repaid, for by your work and by the payment that you receive, your lives and the lives of others are blessed. Blessed are you whose work is unpaid, who offer what you can to enrich the lives of others through your time and your talent and your treasure and your testimony. Blessed are you who seek work but haven't found it, or whose work now is not yet what it may be, that your gifts would be shared more fully. Yours, Jesus, is the glory in their labors. Yours be the glory in all our lives. Amen.